Bibles, please, and turn to Luke chapter 21. And when you find your place there, let's work on some of our memory verses here. In Philippians 4, 6, 6 and 7. We'll catch just some of these tonight. Philippians 4, 6. Okay, let's just go through these tonight one time, okay? Philippians 4, 6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians 4, 6 and 7. Let's go to John 17:17. Okay, we'll go through this one once. John 17:17. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. John 17:17. And then how about Proverbs 22:21? Okay, go through this one once. Proverbs 22:21. That I might make thee know the certainty of the words of truth, that thou mightest answer the words of truth to them that send unto thee. Proverbs 22:21. Okay, then Psalm 27:14. Okay, go through this once. Psalm 27:14. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Psalm 27:14. Okay. Then let's do Matthew 5:16. Okay, we'll go through that once. Matthew 5:16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Matthew 5:16. Okay. All right. Then let's go there to Luke 21. The title of this message tonight is Coasting Home. Coasting Home. And Brother Jim, would you lead us in prayer, please, sir?
Heavenly Father, we're grateful for the opportunity to be here tonight and to praise. You will be the many that have been mentioned, physical needs that you will lift them up. We pray for our country tonight. We thank you for able to assemble here. And Father, we ask that you'll open all our eyes that we may behold wondrous things under thy law.
Yes.
You as pastors, he preaches to us in Jesus' name.
Amen. Luke chapter 21 and starting in verse 29. Luke 21:29. And he spake to them a parable. Behold the fig tree and all the trees. When they now shoot forth, ye see and know of your own selves that summer is now nigh at hand. So likewise ye, when ye see these things come to pass, know ye that the kingdom of God is nigh at hand. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass away till all be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, and so that day come upon you unawares. For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch ye therefore, and pray always, that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. Well, we're seeing all kinds of things happening. We're seeing, you know, with the COVID thing, and there's just continually now more and more sicknesses rising up. And we know these are called pestilences in the Bible, and we know that the Bible talks about in the end times there's going to be pestilences. There's going to be fearful things happening. And God is trying to get the attention of mankind because the time is running out. Have you ever noticed on jobs that you've worked at how maybe in the last hour or the last half hour, it's hard to keep people busy? They're looking at the clock. They know the day is winding down. And a lot of them just want to coast. Just coast to the quitting time. They don't want to work. So they're lazy. So they know it's about time to go home. Jesus talked about the end times in verse 34 there. He said, "And take heed yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, and so that day come upon you unawares." So there's a lot of people going to be just coasting along and not doing right in those days. Many years ago, I was coming home from Cedar Springs one night, and I came through Harvard Road. I think it was 18 mile road to Harvard. And there's a lot of deer, especially from 18 mile road south on Harvard Road. In the winter time, there's a lot of deer that herd up in that area, and so. Anyway, I made my way down through. I was almost to 57, and I remember saying something like, "Whew, I've made it." I was just about a mile from home, and I had no more, those words had no more come out of my mouth, and three deer ran right across from me. Just, I don't even think 100 yards from M57. There's just before you get to M57 on Harvard Road, there's a little dip and there's a swamp on each side there. And those three deer come right out of that swamp. And I tried to steer between them. There was probably an inch of light snow on the road. And so I wasn't going to slam on my brakes. And I tried to steer between them and I didn't make it. Hit one dead center. And from that day until now, when I'm tempted to say, "I'm almost home," I think of that time. And I think, you know what? I'm not home until I'm home. No matter how close it may seem like, I'm not home until I'm actually there. And so we think about going home to heaven when we know the Lord Jesus Christ is our Savior, when our faith is in Him and in His shed blood. Let us not coast. You know, with all these things happening, you know, it sure seems like the coming of the Lord is drawing nigh. My wife was just sharing some things just a little bit ago about people want to have like a digital something for every person. And so, I mean, worldwide. So, I mean, they know what shots you have. They know everything about you. And so it would be so easy in that situation to, you didn't meet this quota, or you said this, and so you can't travel. You know, you go to get an airline ticket, and I'm sorry, you can't travel. Why? Well, in China right now, they're practicing that. It's called social scores. And so, you know, if they don't back the Communist Party, or, you know, maybe if online they said something a little negative about Mr. Chi or what have you, then their social score goes down. It hinders them from getting jobs, renting places, maybe even getting into a store. Well, we know where that's going, don't we? The Antichrist. He's going to control buying and selling. Without the mark, the beast, you can't buy or sell. So we know where all this is going. And so as Christians, it might be easy for us to say, you know what, it's getting so close to the end, I'm just going to coast. I'm just going to coast from here. And not really take our responsibilities seriously. Notice with me in Matthew 20, Jesus illustrated the kingdom of heaven once again. And notice what he says. You know, Jesus doesn't want us to coast home. He wants us to be found faithful when he comes. In Matthew 20, verse 1, for the what? The kingdom of heaven. So this whole illustration is about the kingdom of heaven. It is likened to a man that is an householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and said unto them, go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right I will give you. And they went their way. So the householder, verse 1, is picturing the Lord Jesus Christ. He has sent out his word early, trying to reach people. And of course, not everyone responds early. And so he's talking about these different times in verse 5. Again, he went out about the 6th and 9th hour. And so the Jewish work day would start at 6 a.m. So the 6th hour would be 12 noon. The 9th hour would be 3 p.m. So he went out at noon and at 3 p.m. and did likewise. Verse 6, and about what? The 11th hour. Only 1 hour is left to work. It's 5 p.m. And look what he sees. He went out and found others, what?
Standing idle.
And saith unto them, why stand ye here, what? All the day idle. You stop and think about it. How many people would be out searching for a job from 6 a.m. until 5 p.m., knowing that at 6 p.m. the day is over? These guys are still out there at 5 p.m. Why? Verse 7. They say unto him, because no man hath hired us. With only 1 hour left, they're looking for work. They want to support their families. They could have easily at 5 p.m. went home discouraged and said to their wives, man, I tried to look for work from 6 a.m. to 5 p.m. And, well, who would hire me with only 1 hour left? I'm just going to go home. But no, they stayed out there. He saith unto them, go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that shall ye receive. We're going to see in a moment, you know, sometimes people call deathbed conversions like jailhouse conversions. They look at them as fake. We'll see some more about that. But notice here, 1 hour left. Verse 8, so when even was come, the Lord of the vineyard saith unto his steward, call the laborers and give them their hire, beginning from the last unto the first. And when they came that were hired about the 11th hour, they received every man what? A penny. Now that was the wage. That was a whole day's wage. And that's what the people who went out at 6 a.m., they agreed with the householder to work for a penny a day. But he gave these men a penny who had worked just 1 hour. Verse 10, but when the first came, they supposed that they should have received more. And they likewise received every man a penny. And when they had received it, they murmured against the goodman of the house, saying, these last have wrought but 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal unto us, which have borne the burden and heat of the day. But he answered one of them and said, friend, I do thee no wrong. Didst not thou agree with me for a penny? Take that thine is, and go thy way. I will give unto this last even as unto thee. Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own? Is thine eye evil because I am good? So the last shall be first, and the first last. For many be called, but few chosen. So we think about it. Sometimes people think, well, I'm up in years. I haven't really followed the Lord's will in my life. Or maybe it's a person that gets saved later on. But nonetheless, whatever the case, sometimes people say, oh, it's too late. I'm too old. It's too late. I don't have much time. Don't ever say that. These men only had an hour. And look at how God rewarded them with the same as those who had worked all the day. You know, so God gives this illustration. The Lord Jesus Christ gives us this illustration about these men want to support their family. They want work. They are willing to stand out there 11 hours, and if someone will hire them for just an hour, they're willing to do it. They want to support their family. And you know, as the coming of the Lord draws nigh, laziness is going to abound. I mean, don't we see it today? We see all these help wanted signs. Where is everybody? It's like everyone is hiring. There has to be thousands and thousands of people that are just plain lazy. They will not work. They just sit around, you know, with the whole COVID thing. The government got into paying people to stay home, and then they extended it. And you know what? There's a lot of lazy people that are still sitting at home. They're not working. If the government will support them, they'll sit. You know, that is but yet another sign of the Lord's return. Laziness. You say it is? Yes. Notice in Luke 17. Because the Bible says that the coming of the Lord is going to be like the days of Lot. Well, we know the days of Lot, and that's but another sign. You see all of this sodomy, all of this transgender stuff. That is but another sign of the Lord's coming. You know, these people that are waving the rainbow flag, they think that's a flag of pride, of sodomite pride. Well, where did those colors come from? Well, after the flood, those colors represent God's promise that he wouldn't destroy the earth by a flood of waters again. And so those colors stand for God's promises. Well, you look at Leviticus 18, and you know what? God says that when sodomy comes into a land, the land itself will spew the people out. So when they're waving that flag, what they're really waving is the flag that God keeps his promises, which means he's going to judge them, and they don't even know it. It's Psalm 76:10. Surely the wrath of man shall praise thee, the remainder of wrath shalt thou restrain. Why would anyone that's shaking their fist at God make up a flag that shows that God keeps his promises? They're sealing their own doom. They're waving a flag of their own soon coming doom. Luke 17:28. Likewise, also as it was in the days of who? Lot. They did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But what? The same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained what? Fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when who? The Son of Man is revealed. So God told us that the days of his return was going to be like the days of Lot. But you may say, but wait a minute, you said it was going to be a day of laziness. Where in those verses does it talk about laziness? Well, it doesn't there. But notice in Ezekiel 16, it does here, and it tells us that Sodom, one of their sins was laziness. Ezekiel 16:49. Ezekiel 16:49. Behold, this was the iniquity of who? Thy sister Sodom. What was the first one? Pride. What's the second one? A fullness of bread. What's the third one? Abundance of idleness was in her and in her daughters. Neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and needy, and they were haughty and committed abomination before me. Therefore, I took them away as I saw good. So the third sin listed, the root cause of Sodom's sin was abundance of idleness. So Luke 17 talks about the days of the Lord's return are going to be like the days of Sodom. The days of Sodom were laziness. You see all those help wanted, hiring now, all over the place. It's been that way for months and months and months. And people just sit home and let the government support them. Well, we see that, and it's just another sign of the Lord's return. Thessalonica had that same problem. Notice in 1 Thessalonians 4. 1 Thessalonians 4. Look, let's be serving the Lord. Let's not just say, hey, the Lord's coming is soon, so let's just coast. Let's just coast home. Let's just take it easy. You know, we've served the Lord hard and faithfully, so his coming is close. Let's just kind of enjoy life now. I don't know about you. Well, I think I do, but I enjoy serving the Lord. Don't you do too, right? Amen. But 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 16. 1 Thessalonians 4, 16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be what? Caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. That caught up together in the clouds, that's the rapture. The rapture is the catching away of the saints. Now, so he tells them, and he's closing 1 Thessalonians, this letter to the people at Thessalonica about the Lord's coming back. Well, notice what he has to do in 2 Thessalonians 4. 2 Thessalonians, or 3, sorry, 2 Thessalonians 3 in verse 10. Evidently, some of the people in Thessalonica thought, hey, if the Lord's coming back, well, let's just coast home. Let's just take life easy. 2 Thessalonians 3:10. For even when we were with you, this we commanded you that if any would not what? Work, neither should he what? Eat. For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly. And how does he describe that?
Working not at all.
Working not at all. In God's eyes, that's disorderly conduct. Working not at all, but are busybodies. Now them that are such we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ, that with quietness they what? They work and eat their own bread. But ye, brethren, be not weary in what? Well-doing. Let's not coast home to be with the Lord. Let's be busy in well-doing. There are so many things we could do in service for the Lord. You know, people in the last hour, it seems like the time is so short before the Lord returns. And as we've said many times, it may be. It may be tonight. It might be before we finish this service. It could be tonight. It could be before you go to work in the morning. It could be next month. It could be next year. With the children of Israel, God delivered them from Egypt, and it was 40 years before they got into the promised land. So it seems like the time is so short, but it could be another 40 years. We don't know. We just do not know the time. But whatever the time is, let's not just coast home to be with the Lord. There's things to do for him. Luke 23, and let's look at verse 39. Luke 23:39. You know, just like those men were standing out there till the 11th hour. Now that could be applied both ways. It could be applied to those who are not yet saved, and it could be applied to those that are saved but just not yet busy serving the Lord. Luke 23:39. This deals with salvation and just how close a person can come to death and still be saved. Verse 39. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, "If thou be Christ, save thyself and us." But the other answering rebuked him, saying, "Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss." So if we just look at what he's saying here, verse 40, he's saying, "Dost not thou fear God?" So this repentant thief does fear God. He sees he's in condemnation, and he says in verse 41, "We indeed justly." So he recognizes and acknowledges that he deserves the judgment coming to him, which is death. "We receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man," referring to Jesus, "hath done nothing amiss." So he's confessing his own sin. He's acknowledging that Jesus is sinless. Verse 42. And he said unto Jesus, what? Lord. Lord means master. Said unto Jesus, "Lord, remember me when thou comest," where? "Into thy kingdom." Can a dead man rule? No. Could we elect George Washington to be our president? He seemed to be a pretty good first president. Could we elect him again to be our president? No. Why? He's dead. A dead man can't reign. So when this repentant thief says, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom," what is he confessing? Jesus is going to rise again from the grave. Well, that sounds just like the gospel, doesn't it? The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4. So he's confessing he's a sinner. He's confessing Jesus is the perfect Son of God. He's the master. He's the Lord. And he's acknowledging he's going to rise from the dead and rule and reign. And notice what happens, verse 43. And Jesus said unto him, "Verily I say unto thee," what? "Today shalt thou be with me," where? "In paradise." Is it possible to know for sure you're saved before you die? Definitely yes. He did. "Today shalt thou be with me in paradise." So he wasn't going to purgatory or some other place of temporary punishment. Jesus said, "Today shalt thou be with me in paradise." So this repentant thief was just so close. I mean, in verse 44, it was about the sixth hour, so that's 12 noon, and there was a darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour, so that's 3 p.m. And so then in verse 46, "And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost." So about 3 p.m., Jesus dies. And now we know the two thieves live after that because they come along later, the soldiers, to break their legs and hasten their deaths. But that same day, those men died. So you think how close this man came to going to hell. Less than a day, just a matter of hours. And he got saved. God saved him. So let's not coast home to be with the Lord. Let's keep witnessing. There are still so many people that are not saved. Let's keep sowing the seed so that they have a chance, like this man had a chance to be saved. The very day he died, he got saved. Notice in 2 Kings 2, so let's be faithful. It makes me think of Elijah and Elisha, 2 Kings 2 and verse 8. 2 Kings 2, 8. And Elijah took his mantle and wrapped it together and smote the waters, and they were divided hither and thither, so that they too went over on dry ground. And it came to pass, when they were gone over, that Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let what? Double portion of thy spirit be upon me. Now, what did Elijah's catching away picture? Well, it, like with Enoch, it pictures the rapture, the catching away. But so, Elisha, did he want to just coast along? No. He wanted a double portion of Elijah's spirit. Elisha didn't want to just coast through life. He wanted to be able to do twice as much as Elijah. Verse 10, and he said, thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee, but if not, it shall not be so. And it came to pass as they still went on. Notice, you know, the sons of the prophets had come along. It was kind of, there's kind of some conflict between the sons of the prophets and Elisha. You know, do you know your master's going to be taken away today? Yeah, hold your peace. You know, there's this friction. Hey, Elisha, you know, do you know what we know? Yeah, I do. Just hold your peace. So they're kind of back and forth. So Elijah knows he's going to be taken up that day, and Elisha knows. But you notice they don't just go get their lawn chairs and sit beside the Jordan River and sip on their lemonade. They're walking. They're moving. Verse 11, and it came to pass, as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven, and Elisha saw it, and he cried, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more. And he took hold of his own clothes and rent them in two pieces. He took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. Interesting, just his mantle. The only piece of his belongings that we read stayed behind. Verse 14, and he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and smote the waters. Now, why did he do that? Well, look back at verse 8. Verse 8, and Elijah took what? His mantle and wrapped it together and what? Smote the waters. When he went up to heaven, he left his tool behind. He left his mantle. So verse 14, Elisha here takes the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and smote the waters and said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he also had smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither, and Elisha went over. So Elijah wasn't going to just coast that day. He was moving, he was busy, and Elisha was also not going to coast. He wanted a double portion. And so let's go to 1 Corinthians 15. So what about us? The Thessalonians, the people at Thessalonica, Paul taught them about the Lord's return. Some of them, I guess, decided they were going to coast home. Hey, the Lord's coming back. Let's just take it easy. You know? No. So he had to write and tell them, hey, you don't work. You don't eat. He's trying to get them to be busy serving the Lord and doing their job. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye what? Steadfast, unmovable, always what? Abounding in what? The work of the Lord. Forasmuch as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. So I know there's a lot of things happening. It seems like it's coming so fast now. From the help wanted signs to the waters in certain parts of the world turning red, to locust plagues, to wars and rumors of wars, nations and empires at each other, and all of this technology that's going so rapidly, trying to track everyone. I mean, if you have a cell phone, you can be tracked. I didn't have time to read it, but I just read a headline today that said FBI caught, how did they word it? I'll use the word tracking. 3,000 some people illegally. They didn't have legal standing to track these people, but they are doing it anyway. There is so much corruption in high places, and with all of this, with everything going digital, it's like we know where it's going. And so we might be just tempted to say, you know what, the coming of the Lord seems so close, I'm just going to coast home. I'm not going to worry about being busy for the Lord, but we need to be busy because there are still people like the thief on the cross that is lost, and we want to get them the gospel. They have a chance to be saved up until, you know, if they hear the gospel and reject it, 2 Thessalonians 2, they're going to believe the lie. And that's another sign of the Lord's return. It's amazing how many people believe lies, just outright lies that's going on. We see all these things happening, and so may the Lord help us. Yes, it seems like the time is so short, but let's be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I'll pray tonight if there should be any here who are not yet saved. Help them to realize that when the Lord Jesus comes back, it's going to be too late for them because they've heard the gospel that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. That's the gospel. And Lord, help them to realize if they reject that and the Lord comes back, they're going to believe whatever lie the Antichrist chooses to tell. And they are going to take the mark. They're going to believe that they're justified in taking that mark. And they will do so, and they will seal their doom. Father, help us. Lord, help us to find those people like the thief on the cross, those that would fear God, those that would admit and acknowledge that they've sinned and that they deserve judgment, those that are willing to turn to you in humility and acknowledge that you are the perfect Son of God, acknowledge that you did rise again from the grave and acknowledge that you are going to rule and reign, and that you want to rule and reign in our hearts right now. So, Lord, please forgive us. Lord, for our laziness, our lack of concern for others, And Lord, please help us to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as we know that our labor is not in vain in the Lord, Lord, we think about those men with just 1 hour left. They were willing to work for 1 hour. They wanted to support their families, and they were willing to stand out there 11 hours looking for work and work, willing to work 1 hour. And Lord, help us to realize it's never too late to start serving you faithfully. Help us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.